All right. Happy Father's Day again. A little boy was asked why he loved God. He said, I don't know. I guess it just runs in the family. Every child ought to be able to say that about his family. We gave these statistics, and Brother Small gave, they were very similar a couple of weeks ago. If both of your parents attend church, there's an 80% likelihood that you'll worship God in church as well. If only your mother worshiped regularly with you, there's only a 30% probability that you'll worship regularly as an adult. If only your father worshiped regularly with you, the likelihood that you'll worship as an adult increases to 70%. You know, as if your mom brings you to church, 30% chance you'll continue to go to church. If dad brings you to church, 70% chance that you'll continue to go to church as an adult. And if both mom and dad, it's 80-some percent. So fathers are important, and we've talked about that. You know, Della has said, you know, it's interesting that Father's Day, or Mother's Day, the fathers get preached at, and on Father's Day, the fathers get preached at. And I just want to encourage the fathers. That's really what I want to do. And so there's a survey that was conducted of a generation ago and the generation today, and it talks about how fathers are taking part in the raising of their children. So the last generation putting children to bed was only 16% of fathers put their children to bed. Now it is 62%. Changing diapers has went from 6% to 53%. Attending children's sporting events has gone from 37% to 52%. Reading to children has gone from 14% to 49%. Bathing children has gone from 24% to 46%. Feeding children has gone from 12% to 40%. Helping with their homework has gone from 21% to 30%. Attending parent-teacher conferences has risen from 24% to 45%. Cleaning house has gone from 8% to 25%. And washing dishes has gone from 16% to 44%. So dads, you're doing good. You're on the way up. Would you take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. I want to talk briefly about the fatherhood of God this morning. Psalm 103. Psalm that talks about God's parenting style. And I want us to begin reading with verse 8. Okay, Psalm 103. Beginning with verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Look at verse 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. His righteousness extends not just to his children, but beyond his children to his grandchildren. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word today and the insight into you as a father, you as our parent. I pray today that there would not be one who would leave here today if they have not been adopted into your family. Lord, that they would recognize that you have sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, as we just were reminded of. And Lord, you wish to have a relationship with us. You wish to be our Heavenly Father. We thank you for that. May we have insight into you today. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are a number of things about God here. God is a father. And the first one I would like to point out is that God believes in the potential of his children. God believes in your potential. As our creator, he knows what we can do. He knows what talents and gifts and abilities you have. He gave them to you. And the thing is that God is in our corner. God is in your corner, and he's cheering you on. He's saying, you can make it. You can do this. I know the potential that you have, and I know that you can do this. You can make it. God wants us to succeed in life. And this should be a great boost of confidence for us, because Paul said in the book of Romans, if God is for us, who can be against us? And of course, the answer is nothing can stand against us. If God is on your side, if God is on your corner, and God is working for you, then there is absolutely nothing that can stand against you. You will be successful. You will succeed. God roots for his kids. You know, by doing this, he is a source of strength, and he's a confidence that we need in this discouraging and fallen world in which we live. Now, of course, we need to emulate God's parenting style, and we need to root for our kids, and we need to be in their corner, encouraging them, telling them that they can make it. I know life is rough sometimes, but you can make it. I'm here for you. I'm on your side. And if you need me, I'm there. I'll give you strength. I'll offer you confidence. I'll be there to give you and assist you in what you need. You can make it. I'm reminded of an excerpt from Garrison Keillor's book, We Are Still Married. He wrote, the town baseball club was the Lake Wobegon Schroeders, so named because the starting nine were brothers, sons of one man, E.J. Schroeder. E.J. was ticked off if one of his boys hit a bad pitch. He'd spit and curse and rail at him, and if one of them would hit a home run, he would say, blind man could have done that. Your grandma could have put wood on that one. If a guy couldn't hit that one out, there'd be something wrong with him, I'd say. Wind practically took that one out of here. Didn't even need to hit it much. Then he would lean over and spit. I don't know what it is about baseball players, but that's what they do. They lean over, they spit a lot. So his sons could never please him. And if they did, he quickly forgot about it. Once in a game against Freeport, his oldest boy, Edwin Jim Jr., turned and ran as fast as he could in center field. He saw he was not going to be able to catch up to the ball, so he took his glove. He threw it high in the air. The ball caught in the glove, and on the way down, he caught the glove and the ball. He looked at his dad, who was, yeah, and as soon as he saw that his son was watching him, he just put his head down. It was the third out of the inning, and so the boy ran over and stood next to his dad, waiting for his dad to give him some word of praise. And after a while, his dad just said, I saw somebody in Superior, Wisconsin do that, only it was at night, and the ball was hit a lot harder. Now, he might have been a good baseball coach, but he was a terrible father, because his son was looking for praise and he didn't give it to him. He wasn't on his side. He wasn't cheering him. He wasn't encouraging him. And all of his kids could just never get his blessing. You know, as children of God, you always get God's blessing. You always get God's praise. Whenever you do something well, you have the approval of your Heavenly Father. And we all have fathers who, I hope, are coaches for us, encouraging us and rooting for us. Benjamin West, a brilliant painter who lived around the time of the American Revolution, began to explore his talent as a result of a remarkable incident involving his mother. One day his mother went out, leaving him in charge of his little sister, Sally. In his mother's absence, he discovered some bottles of colored ink, and he began to paint Sally's portrait. Unfortunately, in doing so, he made a considerable mess of things with blots of ink on everything. His mother came in, saw the mess, but said nothing. She picked up a piece of paper that he had been drawing on and said, "Why, it's Sally." And then she stopped and kissed her son. After that, Benjamin West used to say, "My mother's kiss made me a painter." You know what? God is not mess conscious either. I don't know about you, but I've made a mess of things from time to time. And God doesn't look down. He doesn't see the mess that I've made. He sees the potential in the thing that I've done, and he praises me for that. And I want you to know that God does the same thing for you. And if you've made a mess out of things, forget it. God isn't concerned about the mess. He's concerned about the potential that is in you, and he wants to bring that potential out. And he wants to help you develop your abilities and your talents for his glory. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word aptly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." And so if you are listening today, if you're listening to for the voice of God, he's giving you praise, he's giving you encouragement, he sees your potential, he says, you're going to make it, you're going to do great things. Secondly, God is patient with his children. Look at verse 8 there, Psalm 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger. Means that God has a long fuse. He's not easily angered. He's not the parent that flies off at the least little thing that upsets him. This verse is actually a quotation of something Moses had written some 500 years earlier. It's recorded for us in Exodus chapter 34. It comes from the time when Moses was up on Mount Sinai with God getting the Ten Commandments. Remember that? You remember what the people were doing down below? They had gathered the jewelry and they melted the gold down and they formed this golden calf, this image, and they were worshiping this image. And when Moses comes down from the mountain, he sees that and he's so upset, he's so angered by it that he breaks the Ten Commandments. By the way, the only time I think they were probably all broken all at once. He broke all Ten Commandments. God's ready to start over. God says, I'm going to get me a new people, and Moses, I'll give you the Ten Commandments. And Moses goes and pleads with God on behalf of his people. And God reconsiders. I don't think it's so much that God reconsidered as God wanted to teach Moses about patience. He wanted to show Moses how patient and long-suffering he was, and he wanted Moses to become patient and embrace the principle of patience. And so he gives them to him a second time, the Ten Commandments. And as God passed in front of Moses, he says, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, long-nosed, patient, and abundant in goodness and truth. God is patient with you. How many times have we thought we have just blown it? And yet God is patient with us. You know that? I'm so glad he gives us second and third chances. He gives us chance after chance after chance. You know, can you just imagine if I go to the Lord and say, Lord, I just blew it again. I was impatient again. God says, again, that's the understatement of the year. You've been impatient over 70 times this year, and my mercy cuts off at 50. You know, we'd all be sunk if God put a limit on his patience. But God is patient with us. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's patient with his children. He remembers that we are but dust. Reminds me of the story of the little boy who was sitting in a Sunday school class listening to his teacher describe how in the beginning God created. God made mankind from the dust of the earth. And how after we die, these bodies will decompose and return to dust. Little boy turned to his friend and said, you know, I think I have somebody under my bed at home, but I'm not sure whether he's coming or going. God knows how fragile we are. God knows that we are like dust. And as our compassionate Father, God understands our nature. And he factors in our weaknesses and how fragile we are. And he weighs his responses to us against those things. I mean, there are some people that are more fragile than others. God takes that into account. God considers that when he deals with us. And if we as earthly parents were to copy God in this positive way, we could impact our sons and daughters. We would not angrily scream at our, like this father did at his elementary age son and said, "Why can't you act your age?" He was acting his age. And sometimes we forget that. We have to emulate our Heavenly Father. He knows what age we are spiritually. And He deals with us on different levels. He deals with us in different levels of maturity, but He's patient. And then third, God is forgiving. Remember what it said there in verses 9 through 12? He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God chooses to have a short memory as far as our confessed sin is concerned. That's good. That is definitely to our benefit. God doesn't treat us the way that we deserve. He treats us according to what we need. You get that? God doesn't give us what we deserve. God gives us what we need. Sometimes we don't always agree with Him and say, "God, that's not what I want." And God says, "Yeah, I know that's not what you want, but this is what you need." God is so wise when it comes to parenting His children. In fact, the Bible uses all kinds of metaphors in Scripture to talk about this idea of forgiveness. For example, in Micah chapter 7, 19, it says, "He will turn again, He will have compassion upon us, He will subdue our iniquities, and will cast all their sin into the depths of the sea." In Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17, it says that He'll put it behind His back where He can't see it. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, it says that He'll blot it out. In Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 22, it says He'll sweep it away just like a morning mist that gets burned off by the sun. In Jeremiah 31, 34, it says that God will refuse to remember it. He will block it out of His memory. And what is it that you have done, that you have confessed, that the devil keeps bringing it up? I want you to know today that God has completely forgotten about it. He has blotted it out of His memory. I don't know how He can do that, but He can do it. He can blot it out of His memory. He can remove it as far as the east is from the west. How far is that? He'll throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. And then He'll put a sign up there that says, "No fishing." The only one that goes fishing is us. He's completely forgotten about it. It's buried there in the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. We have to sometimes learn to forgive ourselves for what we have done, realizing that God has already forgiven us and God has forgotten all about it. Go on. Do the best that you can do. Remember 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talking about true love. It says true love never keeps any records of wrongs. Does not keep record of wrong. God does not keep the record of wrongs that we have committed. They are completely washed away. They're completely gone. It's as if they have never, ever existed. Ernest Hemingway once wrote a story about a father and his teenage son. In the story, the relationship became somewhat strained, and the teenage son ran away from home. So his father began a search to find his rebellious son. He finally came to Madrid, Spain, thinking that his son somehow had gone there. In a last desperate attempt to find his son, the father put an ad in the local newspaper. The ad said, "Dear Paco, meet me in front of the newspaper office at noon. All is forgiven. I love you. Signed, Dad." You know what happened at noon that day? 800 Pacos showed up, all hoping to find the love and forgiveness of their father. There are a lot of people today that hunger for the love and the forgiveness of their father. But I know a Heavenly Father that loves every single one of you. I know a Heavenly Father that is willing to forgive anything that you have ever done. He's put an ad out. It's not in the newspaper, but it's in his word, his letter. And he says, whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. I will never, ever turn anybody away. You say, but I've been too rebellious. I've committed too many sins. I've done some horrible things. It doesn't matter. There's not a sin that you have committed that the love of Jesus cannot reach down and cover. God loves you so much that he gave his only son to die upon a cross. You talk about love. That is the final thing about our Heavenly Father, is that he loves us, but he loves us unconditionally. You don't have to do anything to gain his approval. You don't have to do anything to gain his love. He loves you. And while you were still a sinner, he loved you so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for you. He loves unconditionally. God is indeed the perfect parent. The psalm reminds us of four reasons why this is so. Knowing that we are loved, knowing that God loves me and that he loves me unconditionally, he's going to love me even if I mess up. Knowing that helps me better handle life. And he has set the bar for unconditional love, the bar that will never be reached by any human personality. God loves you more than anybody ever could. God believes in you. He believes in your potential. God is patient with you. He's long-suffering. He's not easily angered. He's long-nosed. If you don't know God personally, you imagine what it would be like to have a father who acts on your behalf in this way. You can know him today. You can know that Heavenly Father. If you don't know him yet, you can know him that way. You can know his patience. You can know his love. You can know his forgiveness. According to the Almanac for Fathers and City Folk, the largest number of collect calls are made on Father's Day. Call your Heavenly Father today. Call him collect. He's already paid the bill. He's already paid the price. Call upon me, he said, and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? I wonder, is there anybody here today to say, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior so that I could be adopted into God's family. And I don't know God as a personal father that you're talking about, Pastor. I don't know him in that way. I've not experienced his forgiveness in a personal way that you're talking about this morning. I've not experienced his approval. I've not experienced his unconditional love. I know about it. I've heard it talked about. I've heard it preached. I know other people who have experienced his forgiveness and unconditional love, but I've not yet taken that step of having a personal relationship with God. If you're here like that and you would like to take that step today, receive Christ as your Savior and be adopted into God's family so that God could be your Heavenly Father and deal with you as we talked about this morning. Could I see your hand? Just up and then down. I'd just like to pray for you. Is there anyone here today? A second thing, I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But I just want you to have a quiet moment with your Heavenly Father. Maybe you're here today and you just need to feel his approval. Maybe you could never get the approval of your earthly father. Would you just quiet your heart? Let God place his stamp of approval. Oh, not on everything you've done, of course not. But in the areas that you are striving to do right. Maybe you're here today and you need some forgiveness. Would you just go to your father today? Be honest with him. He knows all about you anyway. Would you just allow him to forgive you? You confess, he forgives. He forgets, he buries. He does away with it. Maybe you're here today and you just need to feel his love. Say, Lord, would you wrap your everlasting arms of love around me? I need to feel this from you today. I need to feel your love. This is the kind of parent God is. This is the kind of father God is. He wants to give good gifts to his children. He wants to give you whatever you need today. Just look to him. Father, we are thankful that we can call you Father, that we can come today and get your approval. We can come to you today realizing that you are patient with us. We can come to you today and get forgiveness. We can come to you today to feel your unconditional love for us. Lord, we thank you for that. And I just pray for these people today, these children of yours, Lord, that you would help them to get what they need from you today, that you would be their supply. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.